knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are. Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
I have a quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today?
Why don't you go first?
Oh, my bright spot, Dan, is Janelle Monáe has a new album out.
Hey, hooray,
it's
Janelle Monáe.
It's fantastic. Nicely done.
Thank you.
It rhymes with hey, hooray. Uh-huh. Fantastic. It's very good. You know, she's our generation's David Bowie at this point. She is. She's an Oscar-winning actor.
Does she have two different colored eyes? Isn't that something Bowie was the claim to fame of his?
He had heterochromia? I didn't know that.
Wasn't? Well, I don't remember.
I couldn't look in his eyes, too busy with the rest of him. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Hey,
it's
come
a
on.
Lot to drink in.
He's a tall glass.
Ya.
Tall glass.
When is Janelle Monáe going to come out with her Moon Age Daydream?
I don't know. Maybe Arch Android is Moon Age Daydream.
What about her Ground Control to Major Tom?
I want to say that Django Jane was probably as close to a, like, sing-along style. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that wasn't... listen, I understand that rapping can take many forms, but she was just talking.
Mm-hmm.
That was very much talking. All right?
Okay.
Yeah.
What tracks of hers do you think will live on for really depressed weirdos to sing at karaoke?
Ooh, that one is that one's a little bit harder to do. That one I can't pull up. She's more upbeat.
Yeah.
More on the happier side.
Mm-hmm.
Not happier so much as frenetic.
Sure.
Yeah. It's very energetic, yeah.
I've not heard that new album, but I will have to check it out. I like her work in general.
It's quite good.
So, hooray.
Yeah.
Monáe.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Anyways, what's your bright spot?
That the rhyming is
No, that cannot be
I guess
be your
I'll go
spot.
With some music as well.
Okay.
I don't know how it popped up. I have a suspicion of how it popped up on my YouTube recommendations. Just some music from, I listen to music from Donkey Kong Country quite a bit.
Sure, sure.
Like a fair amount, because it's good. David Wise, fantastic composer.
Okay, I feel like you're defensive right out the gate.
I found somebody who made, you can use the sounds from Donkey Kong Country's soundtrack and then put them into other music.
Right.
And so I found a number of songs and things that were done with the sounds from Donkey Kong Country.
Sure, sure, sure.
And they're great.
Like the DJ Danger Mouse, Donkey Kong, DJ Donkey Kong Mouse or something. Yeah,
sure,
yeah, whatever.
Sure,
yeah,
Funky Kong in that case, probably.
I like that. Yeah.
There was one that was In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins.
Sure.
And it works incredibly well, except for when that beat. That part's tough to do with Donkey Kong sounds.
Yeah, that is.
It's not
that part's tough to do.
It's not as huge of a drop. But
what other things are tough to do with Donkey Kong stuff?
So many things. I'm sure Janelle Monáe would have more difficulty. The beginning of that song, you know, that kind of atmospheric kind of thing, it sounds really cool with Donkey Kong sounds. And basically what I'm saying is I think all music should be Donkey Kong now.
I think that is kind of what I'm hearing. It's you know, it's hard for people to then be like, you know, let's take Dan's music opinions about ska seriously if they're right alongside of what if everything was Donkey Kong?
Well, I mean, my buddy Far Out had a song that used, sampled a song from Donkey Kong Country.
Sure,
song Broke Love.
There was
great.
Ska version of the Super Mario theme, for
to
sure.
To be fair, there's ska versions of just about everything.
Yeah, that's
there's
exactly
like Me cool. First and the Gimme Gimmes did all those ska covers.
Right. So
and
now we need Donkey Kong versions of all the ska versions of other songs.
We need a Less Than Jake or a Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, yes. But with Donkey Kong.
Yes, exactly. 100%.
When is my album of Grease covers, but with Donkey
we've
Kong?
We've reached the heights of music.
Yes.
Yeah, we nailed it. Okay.
I mean, look, there's so much music getting made. Why can't this be some of it?
Why can't it just have Donkey Kong?
Yes.
Yeah.
That... I'm thinking about the trends that have happened over the course of my life.
I will say none of them are going to be Donkey Kong sounds in the future.
Probably not, but yeah. How much worse would that be than Swing? When Swing is
huge. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Right?
I'm not saying you're wrong.
I would take somebody doing a whole Donkey Kong album over Zoot Suit Riot.
Is it? Yeah, I mean, I was about to say, is it more absurd than Mambo Number 5?
Or like, In what the Afterlife. Are we talking?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mambo Number 5 wasn't Swing, though.
It wasn't Swing, but it was absurd for that to be a song that everybody was like, we agree, this is the greatest song of the year.
I don't know. There was a lot of competition that year. I'm not sure if it was the top song of the year, but I'm going to say this, and this is going to be a controversial song.
Okay. Okay.
I haven't listened to it in a really long time, but I have a suspicion that Mambo Number 5 isn't as bad as everyone makes it out to be. I feel like Lou Bega might have gotten a bad rap. It seems like it's just kind of a fun, like, a little bit of doot-doot-doot-boop-boop. That seems like it's just kind of a fun, poppy...
It is, but yeah. Okay.
How is that any worse than How Bizarre?
Let's make it Donkey Kong sounds.
Sure. Yes.
Yes.
A little bit of Dixie in my life.
Yep.
A little bit of Cranky makes me old man.
There is no writer's room we can't punch up.
Sure.
You know? Yep. It's just the two of us.
Lou Bega, hit us up. Do a Donkey Kong cover.
Do Donkey Kong cover. Uh-huh.
Mambo number Donkey Kong. There was the Donkey Kong rap in the... Donkey Kong 64, that was terrible.
Sure.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Sure. No.
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 Mm-mm.
No.
I don't think David Wise had anything to do with that one. I'm gonna hold out. Hope for that. So, Jordan, today we have a present day episode to go over. And I will say that on our last episode, I said that we were going to cover Alex's response to Trump's indictment.
Indeed.
On today's episode.
Yeah.
I fucked up.
Uh-huh.
I prepared the wrong day.
What are you going to do?
The evening of the 8th is when Trump got onto Truth Social and said, I have been indicted in all this.
Sure.
So I forgot. I thought it was a day earlier.
So we're doing the 8th.
We're talking about the 8th.
Right.
And I will say my experience of listening was like, man, he is not talking about Trump's indictment.
I wonder why.
He
so
is
weird.
Suspiciously mum on the topic.
Frankly, he doesn't even say a word.
Yeah. And so on Friday, we'll talk about the 9th.
Right,
but for
right,
today,
right.
There's enough to discuss here. And as you said, we can have a little suspense.
Technically, that's 3 present day episodes in a row.
True.
You know, you go back, you were like, oh, we're going to do all those present episodes. Then he goes on vacation. Now here we are cranking them out.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Even if one was a Tucker.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate people's positive feedback on.
He's the most important person of the...
In the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
I understand that. Yeah. But it's still kind of a little bit of off the beaten path for us. And I wasn't sure if people would respond well to it, but it seems like folks have. So... Yeah. We will check in on episode 2 in the near future.
Seems like it's inevitable.
But first, before we get to today's episode, Jordan, let's say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, Lauren Cates was going to symbolically donate $1.5 billion of some currency, but even the most devalued currency in the world, Iranian rial, that's still $35,000. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
What about... Max coin.
Ooh, 1.5 billion of those would be 0.15000 repeating dollars.
Maybe. It can't be worth much. next, my name is Shackelford, Rusty Shackelford. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, the genius who split a wonk shout out between two friends' birthdays is now a doctor and a policy wonk. Congratulations, Dr. Dora. Love, Aaron, and B. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, a little pumpkin time for the cats. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, happy late birthday, Sydney M. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a technocrat in the mix, Jordan. So thank you so much to Jones and the Wet Phones. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone, sodomite, sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Jones and the Wet Phones.
Yeah.
Good swing band. Good swing band name. Yeah, you know it. That's why you're smirking.
I would have gone. I would have gone more with ska.
There's a thin line, but to me, it's thick between swing and ska.
There's a thin line. Like Errol Morris made a documentary about it.
That was about cops, though, right? The society at large believes that there's a thin line between swing and ska, and that's because of the horns. And I accept that.
Sure.
But there is a big difference between them. And that, and one is that ska is fucking awesome and swing sucks. That's the big difference between the two of them.
I hate syncopation. I prefer straight 4/4 time.
I also think that the whole costume of the swing stuff is a little.
I hate to let the listeners miss out on
the hand gesture.
A very dismissive hand wave at the same time.
And I realized
I don't get what they're doing with the clothes.
And I realized that as I was doing that hand gesture, like ska people wear like skinny black ties and everything is plaid. So, like, all right, maybe there's costume problems all over the place. Yep. All right, yeah. Fine. So we jump in here on the 8th, June 8th, and Alex has a big story to lead the episode.
Wow. Well, last night, James Comey, the 10-foot-tall giant criminal, came to speak in Austin and was peacefully in an articulate way confronted by Owen Schroyer and by many others. And we'll have some of the video of that. It's all on Infowars.com. It's gone viral. And Owen is going to be popping in with us to cover this later in the broadcast.
Yeah, Owen Schroyer is going to come in and report on how he yelled at James Comey.
Oh, boy.
Which he doesn't do, by the way.
Peaceful.
I think he might have hosted the fourth hour, been on in the fourth hour or something. But, yeah, he yelled at Comey.
Yeah.
Got kicked out.
I mean, yeah, that's... I'm fine with all of that.
Sure.
Go yell at Comey and then get kicked out. I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
What I'm not so fine with is the idea of, like, this is news.
Yeah,
like,
no, this is not
my
news.
Employee yelled at Comey, and now we're going to cover it as a news story. Like, Wolf Blitzer doesn't go and, like, disrupt some event and then be like, wow, people are really mad at this event. You did that!
It is a bit like somebody at a fucking newsroom being like, shit, nothing's happening today, and then throwing a grenade out the window and being like, all right, now we got something to cover.
Yeah, local grenade goes off.
Exactly, yeah, totally. yeah, absolutely.
Pretending that there's something more to this story than your employee
you
went and talked shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's awesome. So, on our last episode, we talked about Tucker.
Yes.
Talked about Tucker and his Twitter show.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people had some not so great reviews of it. I think our review was negative, generally.
Yeah, yeah.
Content-wise.
The staggering anti-Semitism usually does not engender great positive reviews.
Let me say this as a positive.
Yeah.
Could have been more anti-Semitic.
Could have been longer.
Yeah. Certainly he could have done worse.
It was short.
A lot of folks were disappointed. Even fans or people who were like, towards Tucker's side, that it was only 10 minutes, like it's just a monologue, that people were expecting an actual show.
Right.
And so, you know, there's been some like, this is it? This is what you're doing? And Alex is on the other side.
Yeah, you know, he's genius.
He thinks it's fucking great.
Okay.
Okay, so we've got that stack of news I'm going to be getting into in great detail today. Then we've got the massive Tucker Carlson news. And Tucker's in very good spirits, and his son just got married.
Congrats.
And he just released episode 1, as you know, 2 days ago. He's going to start doing it 4 days a week, starting very soon. I can tell you that. And it got 104 million views, as I predicted it would get. I said yesterday on Crowder's show, I said, by tomorrow morning when I go on air, it'll have 100... I believe I said 102 million views, but the point is it hit 104 million as of showtime today. We can show you a screenshot. of that.
I have no idea why you would predict 102 million. That's somewhat ridiculous, and yeah. I don't think that was what he predicted.
That's just one of the... Why do you need to be right about that?
Because he's so right.
Why do you need to be right about... Just let that one go.
Also, I checked on this, and Twitter... The videos don't have views anymore. The tweet was viewed that many times.
Okay.
But I don't know how many actual, like, watches
right.
it has.
Right.
Now, granted, obviously, if you have 100 million people that saw the tweet, then you'd assume that, you know, it's still millions of people
sure.
watched it. And, you know, good for you. But you also have to take into consideration that there's a difference between something that you can watch anytime you want that's 10 minutes long in a tweet and appointment television. You know, there's a difference between what sizes of audiences you're generally going to get.
Totally.
There's also a difference in terms of relevance.
Also, and I mean, I hate to come to Tucker's defense here, but it's awful hard to get an entire production crew ready to make a full show this fast.
Not if you're
this
Tucker.
Fast.
He's got an entire right-wing ding-dong brain trust.
Sure, but I mean, you've got to have gaffers, you got to have camera people, you got to have the whole, I don't know why gaffers number one. If I'm doing a show,
I got
to have a gaffer.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think there's a lot of young Republicans. There's a whole league of them.
Sure.
And I think some of them are probably young and have technical abilities.
All right.
I think you could probably get a crew put together from some groypers pretty easily.
All right.
He seems to have no problem with employing white nationalist weirdos.
Sure.
So I think you could get it done pretty quick.
Yeah.
They'd love to fly to whatever fucking shack he's filming this out of.
I mean, this is the ragtag crew from Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, they did. They pulled it off in the end, but that was a movie.
Yeah.
All right. That was longer than 10
minutes. We're going to need Ben Affleck. We're going to need Bruce.
Got to have Aerosmith involved.
Sure.
Yep.
Who else is in that movie?
Bruce. No.
I said Bruce.
I know. I was.
And of course, I mean Springsteen.
Yeah. Naturally.
I don't know. I don't think if you're somebody who is a huge Tucker is the most important person in the world type of guy.
Sure.
I don't think the result is what you wanted.
Right.
I don't think that is the continuation of the legacy of the most important man in the world.
That's true.
Though it wasn't a bomb. It was something.
Yes.
And some people enjoyed it. Most people thought it was underwhelming. That's where you should be coming at this from. A good start to build from is what I would go with if I were Alex.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's important is Tucker is just keeping his name out there. He's just
right.
out there. He's people are talking Tucker.
Yeah, like maybe the show that you're on, that you did a set on, maybe it wasn't the best set, maybe it wasn't the best show, but you're keeping your name out there.
Everybody's
letting people know you're still out there, hitting the stage.
Totally. That way, whenever they're talking to people, who do we want to book? Well, I just saw on a flood. Boo.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to go away forever, and
nope.
then people are like, where have you been?
Yeah, you got to be on the tip of the tongue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, there was a headline for the American Journal. Harrison Smith show
uh-huh.
that was about how great Tucker's show was, and
sure.
Alex is thrilled about it.
Okay.
You know, I didn't write the headline this morning because I got a little bit late because I was working on things. So Ben wrote the headline. It's an excellent headline for the live show. Every day we have a post up there, usually I write it. But it does say it all, so I was very pleased with what Ben wrote. And it's that the leftist-controlled corporate press is in a total panic over Tucker Carlson getting over 100 million viewers. Thursday Live, deep state rushes Trump indictment as New World Order loses narrative control over economy, COVID jabs, Ukraine war, climate change, border, and more. Oh, I guess it was the other headline for National Journal with Harrison Smith. So scroll down. It was a perfect headline up there. That was good, too. But just scroll down, guys, for me. Just humor me. Yeah, just scroll down. Yeah, to the next show. Yeah, a little faster.
I feel like he's mad at the crew.
There you go. The American Journal. Fox threatens to silence Tucker after he proves mainstream media is extinct. And so this is bigger than Tucker. 104 million views for a 10-minute show shot in his living room. And then The national news declares it anti-Semitic and declares it a failure.
Well, I mean, they didn't declare it anti-Semitic. They described it as that because it was.
Yeah, I mean...
And, you know, I think you can tell by seeing people like Andrew Anglin cheering on the anti-Semitism of it.
I mean...
you know, like, that's... You know, that's usually a good barometer.
Yeah, why would we even care what the media says? We don't care what the media says about whether or not something's anti-Semitic. You know what we do care about? What do anti-Semites say? And if they say it's anti-Semitic, I think you got to own it.
I'm not sure that should be your only gauge.
Sure,
but it is certainly
sure.
a factor to
it
take into consideration.
Hey, if they say what we do is anti-Semitic.
If they're excited about the anti-Semitism of something, yeah. you might want to ask yourself a question. Is this thing?
Yeah.
So the other things that are important to recognize here. First, the headline for Alex's show mentions the DOJ rushing Trump's indictment.
Yeah.
And so I that was the only point when I was listening to this. I'm like, wait a second. He is going to get into the indictment. No, he doesn't because
nope.
it's the day before.
Yeah.
But also, Alex doesn't know the name of Harrison Smith's show. He said the National Journal. I don't blame him.
No, I mean, okay. Harrison used to play in the American Journal, but then he got traded to the National Journal. And they used to not have a DH, but now, I mean, that's all changed.
Oh, what a mess.
Yeah, I know.
Alex doesn't know the name because no one watches that dumb show, and there's no reason for it to exist.
Yeah.
And because I think he got it confused with the National File.
I thought that. That's what I thought he was talking about. Nope. I didn't think he was talking about Harrison Smith's show at all.
What are all these dumb things I run? Alex is going to... Okay, listen. This show sucks. I enjoy when he takes a lot of calls because you can get a little bit of chaos. You get a sense of what some of the listeners are feeling.
Sure.
And sometimes you get fun recurring guest characters.
Old man house phone.
Sure. Louisiana dentures.
Absolutely a delight.
Charles. The gentleman Charles gentleman, from the Bayou.
Gentleman Charles.
So you have that and it's a lot of fun. The converse of that is this, and that's when Alex has a number of guests, and they're just kind of like, bleh.
A cavalcade of boring people.
Kind of, yeah. It's just like, there's not a lot of juice. I'm not interested in these people, and they're not that interesting. And one of them is going to be Peter McCullough, who's a anti-vax cardiologist type.
Sure.
A lot of COVID misinformation out of him. But he's on because he has some breaking news about Jamie Foxx.
So, I asked the producers this morning to try to get to the bottom of the Jamie Foxx situation, which we pretty much have gotten to the bottom. First, the media a month ago said, oh, he didn't have a stroke, that's fake news, he's fine. Then, well, he's learning to walk again and did have a stroke, and he did take the shot. And then I saw him put out a video we'll play coming up next segment, very short, where he said, listen, I know a lot of you are asking questions, and I want to just say I appreciate you asking those questions. Thanks for asking the questions. He's talking about the shots specifically. So we get McCullough on last break, and I talked to him briefly. He's coming on next segment. And I said, what's these photos we see of you with Jamie Foxx? Is this accurate? Are you in contact with him? He said, yes. So he's coming on with the big scoop next segment. Probably should have said that at the start of the segment. And here's a photo of Dr. Peter McCullough with Foxx before he took the shot. But Foxx was aware of the shot. He didn't want to take the shot. He talked to McCullough about it last year and was getting pissed they were pressuring him to. And now it's come out that indeed he did take multiple shots and knows the shot did it. And that is reportedly going to be coming out very, very soon.
So Jamie Foxx didn't thank all the anti-vaxxers for asking questions. He posted on Instagram, quote, appreciate all the love, feeling blessed. I guess you just got to heighten that a little bit.
That's a little bit different, but yeah. Okay.
There's also a short little video that Alex plays later, but it also doesn't say any of this. What's going on with Jamie Foxx right now is really disgusting. He had a medical situation that he and his family have requested privacy regarding. Most of the people in his life and a fair amount of the media is respecting that, in as much as they're covering that he was in the hospital, but waiting until he's ready to talk about it to get into specifics or pry about it. But these other fraud-ass communities are latching onto his medical situation and using it to promote themselves. Initially, the Q-leaning folks were saying that this was an attempted assassination because Foxx was about to reveal all the secrets of the Hollywood elite parties thrown by people like Diddy. Then the anti-vaxxers came around for their slice of the action, and the narrative is that Foxx reluctantly got vaccinated, and it's now almost killed him.
Yeah.
Peter McCullough has zero credibility, and there's one picture that everyone posts of him with Jamie Foxx, but who knows when that's from or what the context of that picture is. I mean, floating out there somewhere in the universe is a picture of me with two live crew.
That's true.
Yeah. We didn't talk about the vaccine.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Me and Fresh Kid Ice did not discuss the vaccine.
Fine.
On the off chance that he did speak with Foxx about any kind of like medical situation or in any capacity like that, he's now disseminating that information that he learned on InfoWars, that seems really unethical.
Yeah.
At very least, he better be able to demonstrate that Foxx consented to allowing him to do this interview about him. This might be an actual HIPAA violation.
Yeah, I think it is.
But then again, I don't think they actually really talked about anything, so yeah, Peter McCullough doesn't have any information to disseminate.
Here's my conspiracy theory.
Right.
All right. They're going after everybody who was in Living Color.
Okay.
All right. So
does everybody
have eyes on Tommy Davidson?
All of the Wayanses.
The Wayanses are in danger. Get
Jim
them out
Carrey's
of the country.
Carrey's an anti-vaxxer.
Carrey? See, this is, maybe he's the one behind it.
Maybe
all.
He started it.
He's the one taking them out.
Rosie Perez? Wasn't she a fly girl?
Was she a fly girl? It wasn't Jennifer Lopez. Jennifer Lopez was a fly girl.
Sure.
I don't think Rosie Perez was a fly girl.
Okay. Yeah, you're probably right. I might have just been thinking of Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
Who is now married to Ben Affleck, who is in a very charming Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
Wait, what? They're married again?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. I can't do this.
And he's in a Dunkin' Donuts
this
commercial.
It's
very charming.
I don't do TV. I don't do no news. I'm done. I'm out. I'm out. No more news.
Only
reruns of In Living Color from here on out.
I wonder if they have a bunch of cast members that you wouldn't think of that some of those shows do like Mad TV. Andy Daly was on Mad TV.
I was going to say, I was just thinking that I bet there are so many people who are like, really? They did a year on In Living Color?
Because it was on for five seasons.
Yeah, and there were plenty of people in the writer's room who suddenly got on for
Jamie Foxx was only on he was only a star in the fifth season.
Uh-huh.
And then he was featured on three and four.
That's
season
what
three
I,
and four.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got the full cast list up here. All we got Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tommy Davidson.
Sure.
David Alan Greer.
Oh, we got Dag. We forgot Dag.
How could you forget
How
Dag?
How do you forget Dag?
Right.
Yeah.
Keenan Ivory Wayans.
Uh-huh.
Kim Wayans. Damon
yep.
Wayans.
Yep.
Kim Coles. First season only.
Man, that was a
Sean
cast.
Wayans.
That was a cast.
Marlon Wayans.
Well, yes, obviously.
Oh, but only on the fourth season as a featured player.
Marlon Wayans?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. DJ Twist. I don't know who that is. Fly Girls. Jennifer Lopez.
Sure.
Their choreographer was Rosie Perez.
No.
You asshole.
Oh, man.
You tried to play with
How
my mind.
How did I not know that she was the choreographer?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm. Yep.
I thought she was too busy.
She was there for the first four seasons.
Jeez.
Guest stars. Chris Rock.
Yeah.
A special guest star.
For
on
sure.
Ellen Claghorn.
Of course.
Tim Meadows. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few folks that you forgot, but
yeah.
a lot of those people you remember.
That's because they went on to fucking run the show for 30 years or whatever, almost 40 now.
A lot of talent.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe that's what's happening with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, was that what we started with that on? Yeah. I want to say that.
Yeah. So Alex has some other headlines to run down that are all bullshit.
All over the U.S., all over Canada, all over Germany, all over the U.K., all over France, they're arresting peaceful Christians for even silently praying. That's coming up. And the EU has announced a plan to take the American people's speech. And the woman literally sounds like Dr. Evil. Crossed with Klaus Schwab, who's the same thing as Dr. Evil.
Because I can't do
and,
a Dr.
You know, we
Evil.
Told you this was
what
all
a mix.
Coming. Organic meat production, just as bad for the climate. Study finds, London Guardian. And then another one, eating local produce actually is not good for the earth and needs to be banned. Local organic produce is the worst thing. Giant factory farms and bugs created in warehouses is what you're going to eat. I'm not kidding. We're going to be getting to all that.
He doesn't get to any of this.
Oh, no?
No. I don't know what he's talking about with Christians being arrested for silent praying. He said he's going to get into it later, and he doesn't.
Yeah, that seems weird. You would have to explain exactly what it was that somebody saw that was like, oh, you're silently praying. Gotcha.
Mm.
Yeah.
And he hasn't read these articles about food stuff. The Guardian article isn't about how big factory farms with robot bugs are better for the earth than local organic produce. It's an editorial about how there's a growing consensus that eating locally grown stuff isn't always the best way to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The prevailing wisdom previously had been that locally sourced stuff was better because it had to travel a shorter distance, and thus it cut out emissions during the transportation phase. However, more research has shown that the transportation of these goods contributes significantly less to the emissions calculation than the factor of how the produce itself is grown. Locally grown stuff in eco-conscious farms is obviously going to be the ideal, since you limit the emissions in production and transportation. However, if you have to choose one variable, it might be best to focus on the production instead of the transport. Better produced goods from far away may be better for the earth than poorly produced local ones. And that's against a lot of the ethos of the farm to table movements that had gone on that really emphasized the cutting out the transportation is paramount.
Yeah.
And so that's why this is an interesting conversation. The article is clear that there are benefits to supporting local farms, but that it's easy to fall for the trap of thinking that just because something's local, it's automatically better ecologically than it is. Nothing about robot bugs or, you know, factory shit being better.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do see why you would add robot bugs to that story.
I mean, he's just making shit up.
Yeah, otherwise it's kind of a very dry conversation about what is the most effective way to limit emissions based on your food.
And I actually...
Throw robot bugs in
there. Well, see, here's the thing. I brought up the robot bugs.
Oh.
He just said the bugs that were created in a lab. So they could be organically... They could be organic bugs.
Bio bugs.
Yeah. I put the robots into it, and I'm sorry.
Sure,
I take that back.
No, well, I mean, once you say that there are giant robots outside of Zuck's house, now robots are in play for every conversation.
Well, and he talks about Bill Gates with the robot mosquitoes.
Is that his full name? Bill Gates.
It took me a second to come up with it. So the article about organic meat being just as bad as conventionally farmed meat is 3 years old. This is just in terms of greenhouse gas emission. And that is something that isn't really that much of a huge revelation.
Right, understood. Yeah, we know that.
There's still other benefits from organic meat production related to things like decreases in runoff pollution. The reality is that you're never going to be able to fully reduce the greenhouse gas emissions from livestock production, since it comes from the methane that animals produce and their manure. This isn't breaking news, and it's just Alex not like ever really understanding the conversation. And so like weird things can be brought up as like bombshells, but they're not. They're just realities of conversations he's not a part of.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't recognize like just cows produce emissions existence-wise and that our farming tons of them contributes to emissions, if you don't even recognize that, the conversation has to be absurd to you, right? You're like, animals don't make smoke. Mm-hmm. Duh.
And, you know, you ideally would love for organic animal production to really limit some of the emissions.
But sure.
It turns out that a lot of the benefits that you get in terms of greenhouse gas emission are undone by the ways that you need to, you know, feed the animals
and stuff.
So it's kind of a one step forward, one step back
kind of thing.
And that's unfortunate. But, you know, the alternative is really people should transition to a more plant-based diet.
Yeah, probably.
And that would help with that factor. Mm. But if you're going to eat meat, there's not much there that you can really do.
It's going to be tough.
So we get to the Jamie Foxx clip.
Sure.
And Dr. McCullough's intro. And we get an interesting revelation about Damar Hamlin.
Thank you again so much for supporting. Thank you so much. I know a lot of you guys are saying what's going on here and what's going on there with some of the stories. Love y'all.
All right, so he just put that out yesterday, thanking people for trying to investigate what's happening with him. And
is that what he was
Dr.
doing?
Peter McCullough ended up talking to Jamie Foxx, who was concerned about the shots previously. And we've got a photo here of them meeting. And now they tried to cover up. He had a stroke. They tried to cover up what's going on. But investigative journalists have talked to the hospital and to family and others and say, no, indeed, Jamie believes it's the shot. Dr. McCullough will obviously be talking to Jamie here very, very soon again. But this is a big deal. Unlike Damar Hamlin, who kept quiet about the shot, what happened with him, and he had to be resuscitated. He did die. He was brought back to life. we can get Jamie Foxx to go public with this, it is going to really save a lot of lives for future people.
So, yeah, Hamlin died and was brought back to life.
There we go.
We can do that now.
I guess that's how it works.
We can resurrect.
Yeah.
I'd like the definition on died, Alex, because might have slightly different definitions.
I mean, if you're a doctor.
Yep.
Now, here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say about this. All right. If I were to say to you, Dan, hey, I was talking to this person the other day, you know, and then we talked about this, you would probably believe me.
Mm.
Right. And I wouldn't feel the need to come up with evidence in advance of you talking to me. That
sure.
would be absurd. You would have to be an already very untrustworthy person for you to be like, oh, I was talking to Jamie Foxx. No, I have a picture.
Uh-huh.
You already know that people don't believe you.
Yeah, people
all the
might
time.
Be suspicious.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of suspicious, a lot of cuts in that very short clip of Jamie Foxx. A lot of edits.
You got to make it sound right.
It doesn't. It doesn't say what Alex is. It doesn't even appear to say what Alex is claiming it says.
No.
And there's so many edits that, like, you're clearly trying to make it fit as best you can, and it's not working.
This is
sad.
It's so much like somebody who's like, okay, well, let cut out a little bit more. That doesn't really work. I'll cut out some more. Let's see if that.
Mm.
Well, let's just okay. Can you get him to say thank you? Just thank you, and then we'll say he was thanking the anti-vaxxers. Okay, that's all we need.
Yeah, this is a smoking gun. He's
thank you.
He's about to expose the vax, man.
Knew it. It's him the whole time.
So Peter McCullough comes on, and here is where I said fuck you.
Jamie Foxx is a really likable guy. The folks that know him, what you see on TV is, and then the movies, what you get in person. He also, you know, grew up in the town next to where I grew up. I know folks that actually went to school with him. Say he's a great guy. You've got a chance to know him. I guess he reached out to you and you educated him on shots. What's the intel we've got on this?
Yeah, I don't have direct knowledge of what happened to Fox, but I know Hollywood reporter AJ Benz said that, you know, people close to the situation that he was forced to take one in order to be on scene to shoot his most recent movie in Atlanta. And then he collapsed with a stroke. As Benz reports it, that he had at least temporary paralysis and cortical blindness.
This is AJ Benza again.
Yeah.
AJ Benza said this shit on Dr. Drew's show. And so now you have Dr. McCullough coming on. And the only thing information that he has is the shit that AJ Benza said. So why are you even doing this interview?
Yeah.
Because you have a picture of yourself with Jamie Foxx?
I believe that is the exact reason.
Go fuck yourself, McCullough.
He has a picture of himself with Jamie Foxx.
You should not have accepted this booking.
So he has the authority to speak. That might as well have a Chiron underneath Jamie Foxx expert.
Yeah. His picture.
His picture of him with Jamie Foxx.
So yeah, not going to listen to the rest of this.
I mean,
this interview is a zero.
That is such a moment.
AJ Benza said something and it gives me license to talk shit.
I don't have any direct knowledge. Click the end. The end of conversation.
Pointless interview.
Yeah, we're done here. Apologies for wasting everybody's time.
Waste of time. So Alex has another guest who's a fucking waste of time.
Uh-huh.
And it's that Pastor Rodney Howard Brown.
Oh, God.
We talked about him a little bit in the past. And here's Alex's intro for him.
We're now into hour number two of this live Thursday, June 8th, 2023 transmission. Pastor Rodney Howard Brown is not just a very successful and powerful pastor, one of the biggest churches in the country based in Western Florida. He's also a really smart political mind and grew up in South Africa. So he understands how the New World Order takes over and destroys societies. We're talking about it all with him today, but he issued a news report, he issues them daily, with a warning to Ron DeSantis that I totally agree with. Here's part of that report.
All right. So, Governor.
Governor. His warning to Ron DeSantis is, hey, man, don't do it. Don't run for president.
Ooh.
They're trying to lure you out of Florida.
I like it. We're trying to sneak him out of Florida so we can arrest him for all of the charges and the kidnapping that he's
You're
done.
You're not going to win for president. They're trying to lure you out of your wonderful position here in Florida.
Governor. I actually think it would be smart for him not to leave the state of Florida.
I think it would be smart for him to stay in the position he has. I mean, like, being the governor of Florida is probably a reasonably safe position for him in terms of re-election.
Sure.
Like, there'd need to be a pretty decent candidate to unseat him at this point, based on the incumbency and, you know, and what have you.
Mm.
He's not going to probably have a whole lot of success, especially if Trump is running in the GOP primary. And your candidate, Nikki Haley.
No, I mean, no, it's all, I just... Nobody knows what's going to happen until next. I mean, you know, like
I understand that, but he's not a fighter.
Trump. I know. We both know that he's if he gets
dirty,
on a debate stage,
dirty
he's
plays well in those in that GOP primary.
Yeah,
so I don't think he has the toolkit. So Rodney Howard Brown's advice to him to like cool it, I think, might be a good call.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably smart. I'm interested to know what he knows because he was one of the lawyers at the at Gitmo. DeSantis was.
Was he?
Yes. Yeah, he's
that's
one
an
of
interesting
the,
wrinkle.
Yeah,
I didn't realize
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying. If he starts going, I think I'd be more interested to find out exactly what it was that he did.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of mysteries around it, but I'll tell you what, people
I would
don't
imagine,
think he was a good guy.
I would imagine that if that's the case, he's not going to be a whistleblower.
No. No, 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 no.
And that seems like something that Trump could attack him over and
you know,
he'd be screwed.
Almost like if you were somebody that had that in your past.
Uh-huh.
Not good.
Hey, you'd say what you want about the vaccine. At least I wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Oof.
Whoops.
So anyway, Rodney Howard Brown, not a big fan of civic engagement.
Anyway, Alex, it's like the whole planet's gone totally nuts since we lost talk.
It has.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I'm concerned about, this whole thing of indicting Trump, especially with people trying to get anybody to protest and stuff. Now, I told our church, we are not protesting. I'll tell you what we will be doing. We have massive phone campaigns that will launch letters, emails, and we will phone. What they want to do is to get everybody protesting, as a fact, get riots in the streets so they can blame conservatives, which is like a dumb move. Whoever are the voices saying, we all need to take to the streets and protest, that's just playing right into their hands. So that's not the way to go.
Yeah, don't do it.
Okay.
So the folks shouldn't protest because they'll riot, and then people will blame them for rioting.
Right.
All right.
See, what they are going to do is they're going to do things that make conservatives want to go out and riot, and then conservatives will go out and riot, and then they'll blame conservatives for rioting.
I don't know how this is anybody's fault other than their own.
Well,
I don't know who's tricking anybody into doing anything. It's like Trump wants people to come and protest.
Yeah, it's hard to think of a trick here.
Yeah, there isn't one.
I'm struggling to find a tricky situation going on.
No.
This seems very straightforward.
Yeah.
I think we have the same definitions for words.
But go ahead and not protest, though. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Stay home.
Yeah.
Stay home.
So anyway, Rodney Howard Brown's a really boring guest, but he does say one thing that caught my attention.
Obviously, I have my own views on this, but you remember that second debate when Trump went to the medical facility in Ohio and he was debating Biden? You remember that one?
Yes.
And Trump looked totally confused. Now, I am convinced, I don't have proof of it, that they were actually putting a ray on him to totally scramble him. Because,
interesting.
When I was watching, I was going, who is that? That's not 45. That's not 45. He was slow in his reaction. He couldn't even put a sentence together. And I was watching it. Oh, no, they're doing something to him.
Yeah, they hit him with a laser.
I mean,
they hit him with a dumb beam.
I thought Occam's razor was fairly sharp.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe we just need to even more simplify it to where it's like, if somebody looks like they're an idiot, they're probably an idiot, you know?
No.
They're
laser.
Not. There's no lasers.
No, it's a laser.
There's no lasers. Mm. There's no, like, oh, there must have been a secret, or they were playing dumb, or no. He's an idiot.
No, it was a grand plan to play dumb while being hit by a laser.
Not a grand plan. He's just an idiot. You got tricked. That's fine. We're fine with that.
No,
everybody gets tricked.
This isn't the guy I imagined him to be. It's a laser.
I'm just saying that maybe if you're somebody who has in the past multiple times told stories about the king from Africa sending you money, and then you're like, oh, it's probably a laser. Maybe it's the Africa thing again.
Also, if this this flies, Alex should really get in the business of, like, in court being like, someone hit me with a laser.
Somebody hit me with a laser.
Yeah. Look, yeah. I didn't defame anybody.
What kind of laser? Does he get into it? Like a heat laser? Are we going with a laser pointer? Is it just
No, it's just a suspicion that he has. Cool, man.
All right.
So anyway, fuck this dude.
Yep.
We have another guest, though.
Okay.
And it's a guy who works for Tim Pool, named Shane Cashman.
Great.
All right. I heard that a journalist was in town wanted to interview me. I mean, he worked for Timcast, and I looked at him like, oh, yeah, Shane Cashman. I've done some great podcasts with him. I think the biggest podcast of Culture War that Tim Pool's done is our episode together. I'm like, wow, I'd love to have him as a guest, actually. So we bumped the guest today to get him in here. So Shane Cashman, sure, he wants to cover the waterfront. He's kind of doubling here so we can do an interview, too, for a news article he's writing for Timcast.com. He's at Shane Cashman on Twitter. So, Shane, we got the rest of the hour here to cover so many wild subs. You got 3 pages of notes there.
Hey, Shane, yeah, you can interview me, but I'm going to double dip.
Yeah, I mean,
we're going to kill some fucking time on my show. I'm going to bump whatever other guest because I don't want to take the time off air to do anything else.
That's amazing.
That looks like work.
That is amazing.
Yeah, he does this a bit, though. He cuts ads like, on his show and
I
stuff.
I know, but
you know.
That's just that's sweet. That's really good stuff.
It's good work if you can get it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is fair that Alex's episode of Tim Pool's Dumb Culture War show has the most views on YouTube, but considering the guest selection he has, that is not surprising. Alex has about 400,000 views, that video, which isn't nothing, but it's a whole lot lower than Tim's other shows do. After Alex was on, some of Tim's other guests have been Carrie Lake, Lauren Southern, and Mark Pellegrino, the guy who played Jacob on Lost and then went hardcore libertarian.
What are you going to do?
Fun fact, Pellegrino also played the villain Jacob Seed in Far Cry 5 because this dude loves playing cult figures named Jacob.
You know what's fun?
Huh.
I think he needs to go back to the island.
Yeah. No, he doesn't. Jacob's storyline, it's a little much.
Okay.
That's where it gets into the mythology of him and his brother, the smoke monster.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
The man in black.
Okay.
Smoke monster.
All right.
Jacob, island protector, making people drink from glasses.
No, no!
What?
What?
That's how you become the protector of the island.
Oh, you got it.
There's a ritual where you have to drink from a cup, and then he says, you're like me now.
Oh, boy.
Yeesh.
That's a great ritual.
So frustrating to think about Lost. I have no idea who Shane Cashman is in a deep sense, but I will say that I have a standing policy that I do not shake from. I don't fully believe in guilt by association, and as much as you shouldn't be judged too harshly for the actions of people you associate with, but if you agree to work at Tim Pool's operation, you have no integrity. I can make exceptions for behind-the-scenes, technical-type employees, but if you're creating content for him, you know what you're doing, and I'm not going to take you seriously.
Yeah.
You have made your bed.
You lost your privileges.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You're just... If you know... Like, if you make a conscious decision to see what's going on over there... And like, oh, yeah, I think it's really fun that his co-host is, one of them is Luke Radowski,
sure.
And then the other one is somebody who's even more embarrassing.
Right.
Like, I don't think I think you'd just be like, I'm going to go somewhere else.
You're starstruck. Oh, I would do anything to work for you, Mr. Poole.
I think it's someplace you can get hired and maybe have a shortcut to thinking that you're doing something pretty big.
Probably.
So anyway, also... Shane Cashman also has some ideas about yay.
Oh, what?
It's crazy to be here today, which happens to be the birthday of the artist formerly known as Kanye West. So happy birthday to Ye. And we share a connection with Ye because I was with him right after he was here last.
So you were able to interview him right after he did that?
Yeah, the day or two after I was in L.A.
And I was asking you what he really was doing. You say it was Andy Kaufman?
I think he's being Andy Kaufman. I think it's a bit performance. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff he believes that he's saying, but I think he truly is a performance artist and one of the best ones alive.
Well, I mean, he performs in as much as he was like a musician, but this is not Andy Kaufman. This isn't satire.
I mean, again, I understand that sometimes whenever it looks like that, it can be performance art, but for the vast majority of time, that's just somebody being an asshole.
Yeah. Someone struggling.
Yeah. That's a regular occurrence.
Yeah.
So Andy Kaufman is famous because there was only one Andy Kaufman.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a regular people are assholes all the time.
Yeah. And when he was doing like some of the most famous performance art that he did,
right.
He did located within the WWF.
Exactly. You know, like, a place wherein fakeness is supposed to be.
Yes. Kayfabe is the whole thing.
The idea.
He entered into that and did some... And I understand he did other performance art, you know, it's certainly not to that level.
No.
Where
he's
like, you know, wearing his neck brace onto like late night programs and shit.
Yeah, that was amazing.
So Ye might be running for president.
Okay.
And so is Trump.
Sure.
And so we get into a little section where it's clear that Cashman is just interviewing Alex on Alex's show. So we get the sense of what Alex thinks about Trump in 2023.
Okay.
So are you into Trump running? Like, how are you with Trump these days?
Well, look, I'm not a pragmatist. I'm a realist. And so I don't make my decisions from a pragmatic perspective. I'm very ideological and really believe in what I want. Yep. But I'm a realist in that if I've got, you know, Joe Biden or Gavin Newsom, and they stole it from Trump to beginning. So it's like the public actually already elected him. So even though I don't like Trump at certain levels, the people elected him. So I'm going to respect that. And I do like Trump at a lot of levels.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be Trump at the same time. And he's still running around saying the vaccine's good. You know, he came out and said, oh, we're going to investigate the cause of autism. Well, I mean, okay, you're going to put a Band-Aid on the gunshot wound you just gave us? So that's a big deal. But getting rid of Roe v. Wade, securing the border, standing up to China, shipping jobs back, making us energy independent. I mean, you know, pulling us out of the UN, WHO. I mean, he did.
Abraham Accords.
So many, yes, peace deals. Yep. Peace deals with North Korea. Yep. So many good things. But you could have the greatest dinner set there. And then, you know, and then the waiter climbs up on the table and takes a dump everywhere. It kind of still ruins the meal.
It ruins the whole
thing. So I'm trying to, like, ignore all the crap that Trump spewed all over the table and kind of bite around it.
Yeah.
But it really does have a bad smell.
Yep. I know.
Whereas Gavin Newsom is a giant pool of dead babies and rotting flesh. So I'm kind of like, well, I better just eat around this.
I agree. There was so much I love about Trump. Also, he had Right to Try, which I thought was interesting. He passed that. But the end of the pardons were tough. You know, as much as I like Lil Wayne.
Whew. So, don't eat that.
Don't.
Just go without a meal.
Don't.
Skip dinner.
That's
fine. So that was a whole collection of nonsense that's just meant to allow Alex to play the fence, and he wants to try and retain his pro-Trump audience while giving some appearance of pushback to retain the folks who have soured on him entirely.
Right.
This is really dumb. Based on Alex's callers lately, they don't seem to like Trump at all, and the vaccine shit is insurmountable for them. So Alex's best shot right now is to cut bait. He seems to have forgotten that he doesn't need to support a candidate, and lesser of two evils arguments are embarrassing for someone with his belief set to make. He can mock the idea of people voting blue no matter who, but if Alex insists on caring about electoral politics, he's going to vote red every time because the other guy works for the literal devil.
Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
The only thing I find interesting here is that Alex saying at the beginning, I'm not a pragmatist, I'm a realist. This is really confusing as a way to describe oneself, and I have to say that neither of these terms come anywhere close to fitting what Alex is. But it gets even weirder when he says that he's idealistic, but if the alternative is Biden or Newsom, then Trump looks pretty great. That's actually far closer to being a pragmatic perspective than a realist one. Alex isn't speaking about these terms in any academic sense, so what this boils down to is that realism dictates that the world is what it is, and you should use that to guide your beliefs. Realism has no place for idealism, because idealism is about wanting to change reality. Idealism and realism work against each other. Conversely, one can be idealistic and pragmatic at the same time. You can hold lofty ideals, but also recognize that in order to make changes in the world as it exists, you need to deal with the world as it really is, not as you want it to be. If anything, what Alex should be saying is that he's a rigid ideologue who's willing to play lesser of two evils games when there's a pragmatic reason to, like, for instance, it's really profitable to do that. What follows is Alex listing off a cavalcade of his ideological beliefs, which are not in any way based on realism. Trump is actually the president because the people elected him, and Alex is going to respect the will of the people. The COVID vaccine is killing people. The vaccines cause autism. All of that is reflective of Alex's idealism, which he's projected onto Trump. And the only reason he has any need to play any of the games that he's playing now is because Trump is not, and never was, the fulfillment of Alex's ideological fantasies. But Alex said that he was, because he wanted to sell him to his audience based on their idealism. And now, he's in a little bit of a bind, which is why he needs to retreat to this embarrassing land of lesser of two evils. He didn't have to do that in past elections, because his idealism guided him until he pragmatically realized that there was a shitload of money to be made in doing things this way. And also, just to be clear, you can't really have a pragmatic view of the world and also believe that your enemies work for the devil.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
There's no way to be pragmatic about that. Demons.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it should be a lot harder, and I know this seems silly to say, but it should be a lot harder to get over the president murdering like 12 million people. You know, like, you believe that the vaccine is what killed everybody, and he did it.
But that's just a little dump on the table, you know?
But, ooh, boy, I just feel like he did it. That
according
on purpose,
to Alex, yeah.
On purpose, according to Alex.
Or because he was too dumb.
And either way, right?
Yeah,
that should disqualify you as the leader of the free world.
Certainly, it's either evil incarnate in an act, or it's a level of irresponsibility and incompetence that you
should
just
disqualify you.
You can't be trusted with any
Absolutely
level of power.
Absolutely not. No. Yeah. No.
But no, it's just a little dump on the table.
No, see, that seems so crazy to me. You can't live in this reality and still be pro-Trump. I just feel like you can't.
He shouldn't be. And that's the problem. He's trying to not be, but also be.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a dumb game.
Because he knows that the vaccine didn't really kill everybody.
And he knows that probably none of the candidates that are appearing on the right have any chance if Trump is running.
Right.
There's just no way. He's got star power. He's a dick.
Yeah.
He's going to embarrass the shit out of everybody else.
Yeah.
Like he did last time.
Yeah. I feel like they're really reaping the whole, like, remember when we made politics just yelling at each other thing? And now they're finding out, like, oh, no, we're not as good at it as we thought we were.
Right.
Yeah.
That guy that we built up is.
Oops.
But RFK is also running.
Oh, boy.
So what does Alex think about that?
That is a good question.
What do you think about RFK? How are we with him these days?
Oh, wait, no.
He's totally for real. I mean, I think he's wrong on some issues, but now he's pro-gun. Now he wants to control the border. Now he says carbon taxes are a scam.
Yep.
The system hates him. He's trying to ignore him. And they're in panic mode over him right now because he's in a dead heat. Even Washington Post had a headline about that. Here's the hill. RFK Jr.'s rising profile sparks Democrat jitters. There was a similar headline in the Washington Post where, like, he's the leader. I mean, he's smart. He's a Kennedy. He's a populist. He
understands what the CIA has done more than
they murdered his father and his uncle.
Yep.
So the article that Alex is referencing in The Hill is covering a CNN poll that has Biden support at 60% and RFK at 20%.
Yeah.
This is not a dead heat, and Kennedy's not the leader.
Yeah.
There are op-eds that make the point that it would be unwise to consider his candidacy dead on arrival, but Alex is completely full of shit about the numbers. A realist wouldn't act like this. That's the mark of a dishonest ideologue, for sure.
I appreciate the... I like the idea of, like, oh, well, he suddenly started saying the things that I like, so of course I like him.
Yeah.
Like, no,
not at all like Trump.
No, like, well, oh, now he's saying that guns are good. Not a single instance of being like, well, why is he saying that? Is he saying that just to manipulate
us? Because he's been educated.
Is he saying it just because that's what we want to hear? Mm. Is anybody not, does that not enter into his mind?
I would guess that RFK is not necessarily an idiot. And he probably recognizes that if he's running for president, a large amount of support that he's going to be able to gather is going to be from the right.
Yeah.
And so maybe he should warm up to some of the things that are incredibly important for them.
In some ways, it feels almost like he's making a pragmatic political decision, right?
Interesting.
As opposed to one based in, perhaps, idealism.
Yeah. Maybe he doesn't have a zealotry around guns as much as he does about vaccines. And he's passed that critical litmus test for the right.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Anyway, globalists, they screwed up.
Again?
Yeah. The COVID thing was a real big mistake.
Ah.
I think it's the COVID power grab that blew up in their face. I mean, I think they still had a shot at this, but the COVID, and people aren't forgetting about it. They're more and more, they're understanding the abuse we just went through.
It backfired.
Backfire.
I mean, a lot of people bought into it. Trust me, I was in New York.
Oh, no, exactly. I mean, it worked for a minute.
Yeah, oh, for
it's sure. Like a woman that's got a husband that breaks her jaw. Yep. She kind of buys into it the first few weeks, but later she's like, you know, he broke my jaw.
Yep. Some of those people will never forget
what?
The fear that the media put in their hearts from COVID, from lockdowns. I remember being on a trail in Bear Mountain, New York, and people had to skip. They were almost about to jump off the cliff, rather doing that than walk by me on a path because I didn't have a mask.
Oh, I had people yell at me, and a guy goes, sick him, and his dog bites me in the arm because I wasn't wearing a mask.
Yep.
And then he called the police, and I punched the dog in the head. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Another gleeful story.
What in God's name does this dude have against dogs?
He was really happy to tell a story about punching a dog.
I am blown away by this.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Mm.
I just, why? 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 You know, it is that cruelty to animals thing with psychopaths, though. Mm-hmm. You know, it is. There's definitely a little bit of like, I know what you did.
Why is it weird that the guy called the police? You punched his dog.
You punched his dog. Oh, my God.
Also, I mean, like, sure, you can be mad about fear and stuff surrounding COVID and what have you. But, you know, it's easy to lose track of how many people were dying at the beginning. You know, things have calmed down a bit. You know, obviously, we're not entirely out of the woods of COVID. It's not, you know, maybe it's not the public health emergency it was before. But it is very, time makes you forget how severe things were in the beginning of 2020.
Yeah. It was a nightmare.
Yeah. And so some of that fear was very warranted.
Oh, very much.
I don't think that was the globalists doing it to anyone.
No, it was mainly watching people's loved ones go away.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually what does it.
And Alex likes to forget that he played into a lot of that before he decided it was more profitable to go the other direction.
Totally.
So Shane should ask that question for his cool article.
Shane, is it over for humanity is a good question.
Oh, it's time to pray. So Shane is a little bit worried that, you know, the government used to do assassinations. And then they went to character assassinations.
Glory days.
Right, but he's worried they're going to go back to it because character assassinations aren't working now.
Okay.
And then Alex has a fun story about a relative.
Who's the assassination?
The government, as far as I'm concerned, used to operate in blood. And it used to be assassinations, like RFK knows all about that. Then they moved into character assassinations, which I believe you know a lot about, right? And the character assassinations happened to people in the media. It happened to people, just you and me, right? So... what scares me is now they're going to move back to the previous plan of the violence.
Well, I agree. In the old days, it was all about how many people can you put on the ground to kill people.
Right.
And back then, there was Russians and all mafias and, you know, the military, you know, was going around killing people in the U.S. People don't know that. They were naive. The death warrants were signed every hour. But it didn't work. The intimidation and murder didn't work. So it all went from human intel to digital starting in the 90s. And then the Clintons kind of continued the killing some themselves. But by the mid-90s, you know, killing's too hard. People that do the killing get blackmailed. The guys that do the killing figure out they get killed. Mm-hmm. The biggest problem is the guys they send to do the killing end up knowing they're going to get killed.
Right.
This is all movies.
It sounds crazy.
You're just talking about movies. Stop it.
I mean, he died a few years ago. But
not
a professional job in the Army as an Army officer. Was he would just sit there like a Jason Bourne guy and they'd give him the orders, he'd go kill people.
Wow.
Here in the U.S., it was mainly mafias and stuff, but
right.
Then he got, people say he never got out of the CIA. That's not true. He got out of it at a certain point.
Right.
Because the stuff was criminal. And he said, I'm not doing that. They go, good. You passed the test. You're like, yeah, you passed the test. I'm not doing that. You really wanted me to do that. Now you claim, oh, you passed the test. You're a good guy. Because that's how they test these units. Yep. And it's like, okay, now, wipe out the entire family and say he killed the kids. No, I'm not doing that. It goes to the Tony Montana moment, which is fictional, but, you know, based in composite true stories where he goes, hey, I told you no women, no kids. There's kids in the car. I'm not going to blow them up.
Right.
I mean, Tony Montana keeps his soul at that point.
Right.
No women, no kids.
No, people, it sounds crazy to a lot of people who aren't as plugged in as we might be.
Two movies.
Yeah, it does sound crazy to people who do not base their entire life on movies.
Yeah, it's funny that you're like, this is as shit as movies, and then he gets into the Tony Montana.
Exactly. This, you know what's crazy? It's exactly like a movie, and I'm going to tell you which movie that it's exactly like.
Now, that's his uncle, who we just heard him tell a story recently about being in Iran-Contra, and then he got out because it was kids that were being trafficked. These family members have lived such storied lives.
Crazy.
They're in Iran-Contra and get out and save their souls.
Save their souls.
Because they didn't want to be trafficking kids.
No women,
and then
no
also
kids.
Later, subsequently at the same time, carrying out assassination hits within the United States, but then saved their soul because they didn't want to kill women and children.
Yeah.
This is all bullshit.
Yeah. It's very silly.
Yes.
Very, very silly.
Alex is a child.
Yeah.
Telling these hero stories about his relatives.
It is.
That aren't true and just movies.
It's fascinating to hear these two people talk as though they so authoritatively.
Yeah.
You know, like, and you're, oh, yeah, let me tell you how the world works.
You're a naive dum-dum who's not plugged into things if you don't think movies are
real.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, you're literally telling me about movies. Mm-hmm. You are telling me about movies. You know you're telling me about movies because you haven't read a book in 20 years. You've only watched movies.
Well, maybe a few books that are just like the novelization of movies.
Movies. Yeah, Jurassic Park, the novel.
Yeah, and Alex has read, like, Childhood's
and not the
End.
Original novel by Crichton. The novelization of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Which might be better.
Probably.
So Cashman believes that abortion is human sacrifice. And then Alex gets into talking a little bit about the abortions he's had and how he was haunted by the babies. And also, this telling of the story is very different than we've heard before.
We're still doing human sacrifice. Abortion is sacrifice, I believe. The turning kids into the trans movement is a form of human sacrifice. And it's also, it reminds me of what went on in the Cultural Revolution, right, in China, where they're basically, you erase the history, you destroy the kids, and you get to rebuild the future. A dark, disgusting, depraved future.
You're
right?
The one
they just
want to
play
books.
God, and I think we're weak because we won't target kids.
Right.
No, they're weak that they'll do it.
Right.
Because once you go over that cliff, I mean, take Latin America. 20 years ago, nobody would target kids. 30 years ago. And then suddenly one cartel leader, who was the
based
big
off
boss,
what do you know?
Escobar began to target everybody. And then it was just and now MS-13 routinely just kills babies.
Oh, I know. It's
right in front of their parents, blows toddlers' heads off. Like, what?
Oh, it's so dark.
And again, the bad mojo of that. Do I need to tell people what God does to you when you kill babies? I mean, it's not.
Yeah, you're done. Your soul is done. And what we're experiencing on top of all that is this crazy trick that they've played on people to self-sacrifice, right? So we're seeing people they're offering themselves up to this demonic force.
Well, when you do that, it's just one thing to do an abortion, not know what you did. But when the left goes, I know I killed that little bastard.
That's it.
I love killing babies.
Right.
When you love it, you're done. You're fried. Yeah. And you see those people have dead eyes after that.
Oh, yeah.
You are literally becoming a slave of Satan. Satan needs you to commit a crime like that because God will remove in the spirit. And once that transmission's not on you, you're now perfect to be overlaid.
There's a trend on TikTok, I think it is. I think it's on TikTok, where there's a bunch of young women talking about how they're haunted by the fetuses they aborted. And they have that, like,
oh, I was haunted. I mean, I really believe it was a blob of tissue. And I wasn't trying to get women pregnant, but I was extremely fertile. I got 4 children now. But when I was, like, 18, I got to look at a woman and get her pregnant. And these girls would usually tell me later, oh, I got an abortion, you know, blah, blah, give me $300.
Right.
It happened, like, 5. And my dad, one
time
when I was, like, 18, found the abortion bill and just very coldly said, you're not my son. You quit killing my grandchildren. He said, I want you to get out of here by Saturday. It was like a Thursday because you got 2 days to get out of the house. And he said, I'm so ashamed of you. And, you know, and the weird thing was that over the next 6 months, I started having nightmares, being haunted about it. And then that's when I had that kind of wake up, come to Jesus moment again. But it's definitely real.
I think a lot more people need to have that moment right now.
Nah.
Wow.
So a little different telling of the story. I mean,
yeah.
Certainly he's downplaying some aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely leaving out the part where he coerced some of these women into having abortions.
Didn't seem to leave out that part.
Definitely adding details to his dad.
Sure.
Part of the story. I believe the last time he told this story, his dad was aware of it and kept paying for them. And then eventually had enough and said, you have to stop killing killing my grandkids.
He had paid for too many abortions.
Right.
Not... Yeah.
You found the bill surreptitiously. And
yeah.
Yeah, no, nonsense.
This is wild.
It really makes you wonder how much of any of this is true.
None of it? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I do think he probably was involved in some abortions and he feels terrible about it.
Sure.
Probably those nightmares are, you know, not necessarily a haunting, but a reflection of the unprocessed guilt and shame that he feels around this. Which continues to this day.
Or conversely, at all times around him, he has a little ring of aborted fetuses holding hands, dancing around, singing, you are a murderer.
I wouldn't doubt that he sees that.
I could definitely see that. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yeah. So only is Ye a performance artist on the level of Andy Kaufman.
Sure.
Apparently, Cashman believes that he's one of the most important voices today.
But before I get into this next question, we can shift to something else. I figure since I'm here, I should address Elon Musk. And I think you have a different take on this, and it's fine.
No, I don't. I think the jury's out on him.
No, it's not even about that. I still just think Elon needs to unban Alex Jones and Ye, two of the most important voices in the world today. And I know I've heard you say he probably shouldn't. And what was the reasoning behind that? Why did you think that?
They put so much evil energy onto me, like I'm the devil with the dumbed down mask, that he's barely hanging on. They've taken 59% of the revenue away. He may not win this fight. Right. That if he unbans me, he's basically unbanned almost everybody else. If he unbans me, I'm kind of like the token black sheep that has to be sacrificed. I don't agree with it, but I know why he's doing it. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to say I met and talked to Elon Musk lawyers or anything, but I mean, believe me, there's a lot of inside baseball here.
I hope so, because I think Twitter needs you now more than ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alex is like, he's basically a martyr. He's kind of like the Jesus for right-wingers on Twitter. He's been sacrificed so that they all may be on let back.
In a sense, if you were to tell me that Alex Jones being let back on Twitter would kill Twitter, then yes, I agree. Twitter needs Alex right now. Somebody needs to put it out of its misery.
I think at this point, with the you know, where Twitter has gone, you know, the deterioration of some of it, and what have you, I don't know if it would make that big of a difference if Alex was on it, quite frankly.
I feel the same way.
But this storyline that he's telling himself about why Elon doesn't actually hate him is pretty funny.
It's wild.
Yeah.
He can't just be like, well, Elon hates me.
Yeah.
Because of the Sandy Hook stuff.
Yeah. He thinks I'm a dick.
He can't do it.
Yes.
He can't say that personally he hates me because of the Sandy Hook stuff.
Tactically, he knows that it would be too much and it would ruin the larger plan that he has. What are you fucking talking about?
This is one of the great Emperor Has No Clothes episodes that we've done in so far as like, so there are so many explanations for why the Emperor has no clothes, and nobody here is willing to just be like, oh, because he's naked.
Mm.
It's very simple.
If Cashman was any kind of reporter at all, none of these answers would fly.
Yeah, that's not unacceptable to answer like that. How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you? Yeah. I'm going to ask a follow-up question. Oh, we don't do that here.
Also, it turns out that maybe Alex thinks these things because he's ban evading and no one really cares that he's actually on Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't want to get Elon in more trouble, but since he took over, have you looked at Twitter? I mean, Alex Jones is not banned on Twitter.
No,
see,
right.
Here's the thing. I really want him to succeed,
yeah.
Whether he's being a double face or triple cross or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Right now, he's going the right direction. But, I mean, I can't help but tell the truth, and I really shouldn't even be saying all this. Okay,
yeah.
Look. We get like 10 million views a day on Twitter now.
Right. So,
I mean, we were banned on there. We're not banned on there. I'm not that good at tweeting. So the great part is,
right.
Like they banned Tucker Carlson because they are arrogant. That was real.
Right.
And now they want him. They're telling him he can't even have free speech. They're suing him because
right.
he had 104 million views in like, you know, a day and a half.
Yeah.
So that's real.
Yeah. No,
I mean, that's going on. But
I see the numbers. I see Alex Jones on Twitter. I think I just would like that symbolic gesture. But I understand he's already got, you know, his feet to the flames. And I don't fully trust Elon for a lot of different reasons. But I love what he does with Twitter.
Well let's just say this. People claim Trump was 3D chess. No, Trump's all instinct, all gut, which is 3D because it's your subconscious and unconscious. So Trump's a formidable source. But when he's wrong, it's really pig-headed. But with Elon, this is a 3D chess going on.
Oh, yeah.
So and I can actually see his moves. And so I'm like, is this your moves? And he's like, yeah, that's my moves. Most people can't see my moves. But I'm like, but is your move a double cross later? I don't trust him. But I can see right now the moves he's making.
What?
I mean, it's devastating, the Neuralink.
My theory is that he secretly implanted the Neuralink in himself a long time ago. And that's why he can play these wild games and think so differently than most people.
Can't tell if that's a joke or a sincere thought that Cashman has there.
I am terrified that that is a sincere thought.
Yeah. Also terrifying that Alex thinks he's sort of telepathically communicating with Musk about his secret moves.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I want to say one thing really quick.
Sure.
When we were talking about 3D chess on a past episode,
sure,
it came to my attention that chess is 2D. In terms of the game, you know, you're playing on two dimensions. There's
length
and width.
Right.
The reason that I said it was 3D chess is because chess pieces have height.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Like, 2D chess is...
I feel like
it's when you're playing on a screen, and then 3D chess, the pieces, they have a height to them.
No, that was the joke we were making, Is that the pieces were...
Oh, I didn't mean that as a joke.
Oh, yeah. No, because the game is just black and white, you know.
I get that.
Okay.
I'm clarifying my position.
Gotcha.
You were making a joke.
I was
looking at it as a 3D object.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. That's the joke, is that it is three-dimensional chess. It is three-dimensional because you can see the pieces exist in three dimensions. You know, that's...
I might still not get the joke.
Because the game itself is not three-dimensional.
Right, right, right.
But if you add in, I've watched people play chess before, then never mind. Don't worry about it.
It
was subtle.
I get it, but it might be too subtle.
It was subtle.
I get the point.
It's subtle.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just explaining my own statement, which I guess was wrong, but also like, hey, come on.
You want to throw this out at you?
So.
All right. Include space-time, and you're one dimension short. Because it also moves through time as well.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, frankly, everything is four-dimensional.
Right. And what if...
Yeah.
What are the other dimensions? Alex has described them before,
there's
right?
There's really only... as far as...
No, like, there's like 10th dimensional...
Well, we've had 10 dimensions, but I don't know what the 10 dimensions are. I remember one of them was bad, right? Or was... Now I only remember that the riffs that we made about it.
The fondue one.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't remember what his actual beliefs are. What if you're playing chess against a demon, then it's like fourth, fifth, sixth dimension.
Oh, yeah. If you're playing chess against against death for your life.
Right.
Yeah.
Is death a demon?
Or just the embodiment of a process, you know, like the
demonic process, deterioration.
That's a good point.
No, it's not.
Okay.
But what is that the moon landing was fake.
That sounds true.
Sort of.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
This is like a bong circle.
Okay.
This is nonsense.
Remember when Annie Jacobson was on Rogan?
Yeah.
Like 4 or 5 years ago, she said, and she had a source for the book she wrote many years ago who claimed to have worked at Area 51, who said he saw surgically altered humans in a craft to look like aliens, just to freak out the
what?
Soviets.
Exactly. This is all a giant psyop that the U.S. has got an alien. You just said it. Moon landings freak out the Soviets. We got aliens freak out the Soviets. Meanwhile, there was a real space program and a whole bunch of dead Air Force astronauts. We did go to the moon. And then for the public, they just had a staged event. But the guys they sent had already been there.
Do you think she went to the moon?
Oh, I know the guys that ran the operation. Oh, I mean, you know, they ran
what?
The team before he died. I've been to his house many times. He worked with me, worked with my dad. He used to go camp and hunt with my dad and me. He was a good friend. If you look at the famous black and white Mission Control, he ran the cameras, he ran the radios, he ran the uplinks worldwide. He was the head of Mission Control comms.
Why do you think we haven't gone back?
Well, he would always say he was going to tell me, and he couldn't do it. But then he was told that his heart was, he had a bunch of stents and had heart attacks. He's a tough guy. I didn't really realize we had his last dinner. He wanted to meet at a hotel restaurant, actually the old SAC base at the Hilton, and where I guess he'd been stationed when it was a SAC base. It's got underground bases under everything. Mm-hmm. And we had a hand. He said, I'll probably be dead in a few months, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you some of this. And he had like presidential medals at his house and like, and then pictures of him and, you know, Nixon and all this stuff.
Right. Picture of him with Jamie Foxx.
He said, listen, they had a whole secret space program, a whole duplicate because of the deaths we had, the numbers and the advanced technology. And it was basically our job to run an entirely fake operation. They were in space, but to just basically then reenact what we did because we couldn't actually show you all the advanced technology we had.
So what we saw, the video we've all seen is...
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity...
One thing I'll note is that Alex seems to not care about commercial breaks on this episode.
Mm.
He is missing
just
breaks
doesn't matter.
Constantly.
All right.
Also a little speedy, but also a little bongy. A
little bit.
Maybe Alex is a little speedy and Cashman's a little bit
Everybody's
bongy.
Having a little bit of a mix of bad ideas.
Yeah.
Is what's going on.
Wow. Okay, so... Alex had this buddy who was involved in the faking of the moon landing video.
Hang with
because they had already done it. They'd gotten to the moon, but there have been so many deaths and all this stuff that didn't want to release a video of the actual moon landing, so they faked one.
Terrible, terrible conspiracy.
He seems desperate to impress Cashman.
It does seem that way.
Yeah. I know all these guys. I had dinner with him right before he died.
No, my dad, my uncle.
We go hunting with him. My uncle was an assassin.
In case you were wondering, no matter what story you bring up or observation you have, I know somebody personally making my connection to it far greater than yours. In case you were wondering, I am dominating you.
Yeah. Alex also knows Buzz Aldrin. Yep. Buzz Aldrin was on the show and they were good friends.
Yep.
That's
oh, we got to go get the Buzz Aldrin interview. Yeah. He got in a lot of trouble for it, by the way.
Oh, really?
I talked to the secretary. Yeah, I was like, can you come back on? He's like, no way. They said NASA flew people in here. They've been in this office for a week. We're coming back on again. And you can think, well, maybe that's a psyop, too. I mean, I don't know. You know?
That's the thing.
Oh, hey, Buzz Aldrin wants to have dinner with you. Oh, yeah,
that's
Buzz Aldrin.
The thing is, my skepticism overflows so much, I don't even know, how to find what's real anymore. That's the problem. In this world, that's why God seems to me like is the only anchor in this reality that we have.
Yeah, that is a problem.
What a big swing and miss.
This is not skepticism.
I'm so skeptical.
Oppositional defiance.
So skeptical, I don't even know how to know what's true anymore. So I'm just going to believe whatever it is I want.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, it is just like knee-jerk defiance to things that you perceive as being the authority that you want to position yourself against.
Sure.
That's what he's describing and pretending it's skepticism.
Sure.
Meanwhile, obviously, God and the idea of an immortal, all-powerful being is the last refuge of, certainty.
Yeah.
You can retreat to that certainty and just be like, that explains everything. And that's what he's describing he's done. None of this is even close to a skeptical process.
No.
You wouldn't listen to Alex say this bullshit if you had any kind of skepticism in you. You'd be like, the fuck are you talking about?
Yep.
This is ridiculous. This is naivety mixed with oppositional defiance.
It is something along the along those lines, and authority meaning anybody who is competent, not even like
sure.
I mean, I thought we had a war on experts when I was growing up.
Oof.
My man, we have a war on just basic competence now.
Yep.
The idea of successfully completing your job means that you are a fucking fed.
You must be.
Yeah,
you must be.
That's the only way.
The other thing too is just this insistence that the machine is anything that is what you disagree with or your political. It's not actually based in power, and then you have to justify that by crafting a web of explanations for how yes, anything that is slightly liberal is actually power because pop culture has interracial couples in commercials.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
Yeah, and at the same time, a forced ignorance on and just asking questions that you could find the answers to, but refusing to. Why didn't we go back to the moon? You could think about it or ask people.
Ask
There's
Alex.
There's a reason that we didn't go
Alex
back
Alex knows.
Moon. Yeah, exactly. There's any number of possible things that you could look into, but instead you're like, well, I guess we'll never know why we didn't go back to the moon. Probably the libs.
But we might know some things.
Yeah.
And for that, we need to actually talk about what you're talking about, this not trusting experts.
Right.
We do need to trust experts.
Uh-huh.
And one of them is Logan Paul.
Oh, God damn.
But yeah, I hear, you know who Logan Paul is?
Yeah.
Logan Paul has supposedly some footage of a UFO. People are saying is
fuck yeah.
He hasn't shared it yet, but he claims it's in me. I mean, he says it's grainy, but it's really good footage.
There's Logan and Jake.
Yeah, I think it's Logan. I'm not sure.
I've been on his show.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, nice. Yeah.
Well, Logan, I think you should release that immediately for transparency's sake, because I'm skeptical of all these videos, even when they're grainy and whatnot. But
yeah, the latest
even
ones
when
I've
they're
been
grainy?
Sent. I mean, come on, with all this.
That's the thing. With AI now, they could be making better fake, spacecrafts. But
well, what I can prove is they gave us a poison shot that shuts off our immune system and gives us blood clots. So
exactly.
I can prove that one on. I can prove they're trying to sexualize 3-year-olds.
Yep. No, you can't.
Absolutely not. But he can prove that he was once on Logan Paul's show.
I mean,
Logan Paul, when he was on Logan Paul's show, he got embarrassingly drunk to the point where he was pouring a glass of vodka, another glass of vodka for himself. And one of Logan Paul's co-hosts said, "That's a heavy pour you're doing there," as if to say, slow
stop,
down.
Stop.
Slow
stop.
Down.
Please.
It's a sweaty mess. Just like, let me tell you about it was rough. You could even see in Logan Paul, of all people, wow, this is a bit much. I will say that Logan Paul's a pretty good pro wrestler.
I
surprisingly quite good.
I genuinely whenever he was like, hey, you heard of Logan Paul? He has a UFO video. My first thought is just like, oh, God, I wish I just hit me with a UFO and end it for me now. Just stop this. Just stop this madness.
It's not something that you love to hear.
I mean, just hit me with a UFO. But what are we doing?
Doesn't it sound like when you're passing a blunt around with people in college? Hey, hear about Logan Paul? He's got a UFO video.
And here's the thing. People are going to tell you that they faked the moon landing. Motherfucker, we made it to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Of course we made it to the
moon. So many times.
But you can't videotape it.
No.
So we had to fake the moon landing.
Everybody knows the video cameras need to breathe.
They need air.
Yeah. So Alex also has a connection to Roswell, if you'd believe.
Sure.
Of course he does.
But I'm like, well, Greer is right. Most of this is human. They're doing it to make us think the aliens are violent.
Right.
If they were violent, they'd already blown us up.
Right. Right.
Okay, and God's in control of all these groups. So I agree with him that, look, it's the same story. I'm an intel officer. I'm the first to say at Roswell we discovered bodies and craft. There's like 50 officers that have come out. This story happens like every year.
Right.
So it's always the same, like we're animals, like the same program, the same lie, the same thing. Yep. And meanwhile, this gets even weirder. Look, son, I'm in Texas. My grandfather was a World War II vet. He worked for oil companies. So the big oil fields then were in New Mexico. In Roswell, and my grandfather from like 46 to like 52, my uncle was born out in New Mexico. They worked and lived in Roswell. The big building then, it's a big square building, it's the petroleum building. So we were coming back from Christmas trip. Like, my grandmother's dead now at 92, but she was probably like 80 or something. This is like 15, 16 years ago, because my third child wasn't even born then. And we go out to Rio Doce or whatever, to some mountain thing to ski out there. And so we come back, and it's like 2 days after Christmas, and we stop at a Denny's in Roswell. She's like, oh, yeah, Bill. My grandfather had been dead a few years.
This is a terrible story. He worked
right there in the petroleum building, and we lived in a little house right down the street here, and I'm in this Denny's. Nobody's in there. And I'm like, really? I forgot you guys lived in Roswell. Well, what happened in 47 or 48 or whatever year it was? She goes, oh, we were here. I saw the big truck in the tarp and the army men with their guns. And right. You know, they said it was all secret. Well, if you look at a map where that thing crashed, there's all these highways and roads. Why would they bring it through Main Street in the middle of the day with the press?
Right.
It was all a psyop. It was all... So my grandmother was there. They're like, there's a flying saucer. The aliens are here. Here, let's all go out here in Roswell on the main road, and then let's sit here and see it. And it was just a joke.
The parade. So we have to constantly balance the psyop of these things, but also we understand that these beings do exist, whether interdimensional or not.
Yeah, they want to control the narrative about it because it's so important.
Right.
Yeah, that's what's going on.
All right. So, yes, obviously they exist. Right. Obviously they're real.
You can probably hear those sirens outside.
Those sirens, because we're talking about.
Worried that we're talking about Alex's grandma blowing the lid off Roswell.
Yeah. But it's not about whether or not they're real.
No.
It's about controlling how people know whether or not they're real.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it was a real thing.
Right.
But also, it was a psyop. So it is both real and not real simultaneously.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Great. Great story.
God, his family is just involved in everything.
You know, it reminds me of the movie Gross Point Blank. I don't know why this has always stuck with me, but there's a nice little character beat in Gross Point Blank where the two FBI agents, one of them just goes, why do you always got to know everybody?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I was with that guy in 94. Why do you always got to know everybody?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just that kind of like, that's such an annoying character trait.
Mm-hmm.
You always have a personal connection to everything. Come on, man.
Yeah. So it does seem like he really wants to impress this guy.
Yeah, for some reason.
I think it's because he works for Tim Pool, and Alex recognizes that Tim Pool has a larger reach and is like ascendant within that right wing scamosphere.
So you think you're going with the buttering him up kind of situation?
Yeah.
It does seem like he's got a pretty consistent strategy of buttering people up now.
Yeah, and if you look at like the things that Alex kind of would need for lifelines, you know, you have Steven Crowder over here.
Mm-hmm.
You have, I mean, I don't know what Tucker's going to be able to do for him on Twitter. But, you know, maybe keep that on the back burner. But then you also have this tenuous connection to Tim Pool and mm-hmm. maybe trying to strengthen that, getting on the big show over there. Maybe that's the way to go.
Huh?
It seems very doable. I mean, Luke Radowski is one of his co-hosts, and that dude owes his career to Alex, basically.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know. It makes sense why you would bump another guest for this guy if you really want to try and get, like, in as good as you can with the Pool crowd.
Yeah, that does track.
And so we have one last clip, and Alex tries to blow a mind again, and then also really sad image.
What's that?
So apparently Jimmy Carter wanted to reveal that aliens existed, and he was not allowed to. And I'm just going to spoil this even before the clip because it's such a sad image, and I don't know if you're ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Carter cried about not being able to reveal aliens. And I don't like the image of Jimmy Carter crying.
The worst part, right, is he was like, I want to reveal the existence of aliens. And they were like, no, you have to work for Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah, for the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life.
You know what the shortest line in the congressional record is? Carter wept. Anyway, here's the last one.
Well done.
And then, I mean, again, creatures that are coming from light years away are flying in tin cans and are little and gray and fall over and die. Right. And then our jets can shoot them down. I mean, give me a break, right, folks.
You know about the Carter, the Jimmy Carter story? Where he
oh, yeah, he's up at the White House. And they see all the aliens. And the flying saucers.
He saw the flying saucer outside of a Lions club in Georgia, and then he promised to release UFO information when he got into the presidency. And then he asked, I believe, Bush, who was in charge of the CIA. And the story goes he was rejected and then cried about it, supposedly. But I always like that.
Well, as if the president wasn't in charge of the CIA.
There you go.
But yeah, that's how this works.
Yep, that's exactly right.
People forget George Herbert Walker Bush was the director of the CIA.
Exactly.
Never worked for him.
People don't forget that.
He actually ran part of the Kennedy assassination. He was photographed at Dealey Plaza.
I wonder if RFK will start saying stuff like that.
Let's finish up for 5 minutes, then we're going to go.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy.
Another missed break there, a little bit.
Boy.
Cut off mid-sentence.
Yep.
So yeah, Bush was not photographed at Dealey Plaza.
No.
There is a guy who dumb conspiracy theorists think is Bush, but it doesn't look like him, and it's not him.
Do you know who it is? John F. Kennedy Jr.
What?
Yeah, from the future.
You know who it is?
Who?
Alex's uncle. His other uncle.
Do you know who's on the Krusty Knoll?
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
All of Alex's
exactly,
family.
The whole family. There it was a family reunion. It was the whole thing. They were there.
Yep, all the tramps. All of Alex's cousins.
Everybody's like, we're coming back from Nam.
Yeah. Little known fact, Zapruder, fake name.
Fake name.
Mm-hmm. Jones.
David Jones.
Uh-huh. So we come to the end of this, and... look, my bad. We didn't get to the indictment response, but that'll be for Friday. And we did get to see some dumb guests pop in and waste everyone's time.
Indeed, we did.
So at least there's that.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, we got to talk about ska and Donkey Kong music.
That's
so
true.
I mean, it's not all a wash.
Skonky Kong.
Ooh. Mm. That's the band.
Donkey Skong or Skonky Kong?
Probably Skonky Kong.
I think Skonky Kong is the way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be back. but until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at knowledge_fight.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo, I'm Leo, I'm DZX Clark. Pick it up. Eh? Scott. Yeah.
Scott?
Oh, you know what? Eh.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.